Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. Good to have you all with us here. And that's my guitar, Johnny Weeps, George Harrison, of course. And we, on this day, he was born on this day in 1943. We are here with Dave Von Love, Director of Research and Public Policy for Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle, and Karen Aslan, who is the Policy Associate at Job Opportunity Task Force. Good to have you both here. Good to meet you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So, what's happening in Annapolis?
Well, there are a couple of really important things happening tomorrow in Annapolis. We just wanted to alert the community. One of which that I'll talk about is the amendments to the Law Enforcement Officer Bill of Rights, so Senate Bill 566.
This is huge. Big debate can take place.
Exactly. Right? And I'll outline some of the major components of the legislation. Currently, so just for the listeners who don't know, the Law Enforcement Officer Bill of Rights was codified in the 1970s, and it gives law enforcement certain protections that the average citizen doesn't get, including things like if an officer goes to in line of duty, they have 10 days before they're compelled to make a statement. The police trial boards, the only people that preside on police trial board are other law enforcement officials. So these are the kinds of, you know, protections that law enforcement gets. Senate Bill 566, what it does is it does a few things. One is that it eliminates this 10-day rule that I just mentioned. What it does is that it authorizes the chief in charge of a particular investigation to bring in non-law enforcement folks, residents from the community, to preside over the police trial boards to determine disciplinary action for law enforcement. Mm-hmm. It extends the amount of time that people have to make a complaint from 90 days from the incident to a year. And then the last thing I'll mention is that currently when a police officer is being investigated, they're entitled to all the information against them before they're questioned. Right, gives them the opportunity, you know, make sure their story is consistent with a bunch of different factors. What this bill does, it makes it so that they're not entitled to the information until after their question. So those are the major things.
That's the one part of the Policeman Bill of Rights I didn't understand. I didn't know about until you just uttered. I mean, I know about the other parts.
Right.
So you're saying that part of the Policeman's Bill of Rights right now that you're looking to change is that, like, if you and I got busted, we would not see the information that they're charging us, whether they may have against us, until after they ask us questions. Right. Police officers see everything before they ask the question.
Exactly. That's wild. It's wild.
So whose bill is this? Who's putting that bill in?
So this is, on the Senate side, this is Senator Lisa Gladden. On the House side, it's House Bill 968, which is Delegate Joe Carter's bill, and that hearing is on March 12th. But tomorrow's in judicial proceedings. In the Mike Miller building, we actually have a bus. So Pleasant Hope Baptist Church has volunteered a bus to transport people that want to go down.
Where's the bus going to?
So the bus is going to be at Pleasant Hope Baptist Church, which is 430 East Belvedere Street
in York.
Exactly, right near Belvedere Square. And we will be leaving at around 11:45.
That's important.
Very important.
I want to hear what happens to this. We have to do a follow-up as soon as you get back to find out what happened with that.
Absolutely.
And we'll come back, talk a bit more about this. Karen, talk a bit about what you're focusing on.
Yeah, so tomorrow is a really exciting day. You can almost call it Justice Day. Our focus, the Job Opportunities Task Force, has partnered with a number of different groups, Healthcare for the Homeless and Out for Justice, to host our annual Lobby Day in Annapolis, Lobby Day for Jobs and Housing, to urge support for different pieces of legislation that would restrict access to the criminal record for Maryland workers. This idea that you have thousands of qualified Maryland workers who are unable to secure stable employment and housing just because of a dated minor criminal record. So there are a number of bills that are in play that folks are coming to Annapolis to support. We have hundreds of individuals coming from across the state, Prince George's County, Baltimore City, Montgomery County, Charles County, to support a number of bills. The first bill is the Maryland Second Chance Act. Mm-hmm. Last week, it was heard in the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee, Senate Bill 526. This bill would allow shielding of certain nonviolent misdemeanor convictions from public view after a 3 to 7 year waiting period, things such as disorderly conduct, CDS possession, misdemeanor theft under $1,000, prostitution.
That they would be expunged from the record?
Shielded. So shielded. Shielding is different from expungement.
Right.
Expungement is the complete obliteration of the record. Shielding would retain access to the record for law enforcement, courts, and certain employers and entities that by law have to access information, so like your hospitals, daycare centers, banks. But the public, the general public, would not have access to that information. So Senate Judicial Proceedings heard that bill last week on the 19th, and they're actually voting on it today. So I want to urge callers to please contact your Senate Judicial Proceedings committee members and urge a favorable vote for Senate Bill 526. The sponsors are Senator Jamie Raskin and Senator Huff. So please make sure you contact and urge support for Senate Bill 526.
Jamie Raskin. I'm glad he's in there.
Jamie Raskin. A couple of our other bills have to deal with expungement of non-convictions. So shielding and the Second Chance Act pertains to certain nonviolent misdemeanor convictions. But there are thousands of individuals that were actually not found guilty and are still saddled with records and unable to secure employment as a result of a non-conviction. So null pros, where the prosecutor declined to prosecute, an acquittal, a dismissal, a probation before judgment, those are the individuals that are getting a lot of folks jammed up. So there are two bills in play that go hand in hand. The first bill, House Bill 304, which will be heard tomorrow in the House Judiciary Committee, is sponsored by Delegate GOP Carter. And that bill would repeal the rule prohibiting expungement of eligible non-convictions if a subsequent conviction occurs.
What does that mean?
So the idea is if you are if you get a null pros in 2002.
Which means the prosecutor decides not to prosecute a particular case.
Might not have had enough evidence, realize he probably shouldn't have locked
you up. Busted for an ounce of reefer or whatever that might be. Right.
Null prosecute you for CDS possession, okay, in 2002. Then in 2012, now you don't get that 2002 null prosecute expunge because you probably didn't even realize you had a record because you weren't found guilty.
Right.
Okay? So in 2012, you get found guilty for, say, driving on a suspended license. You didn't know your license was suspended. You know, might not have paid a ticket. You just didn't know. So you plead guilty. Now it's time for you to get a job. The background check comes up, and the employer is like, oh, you have this 2002 null pros for CDS possession. We will extend you the job offer if you're able to get rid of that null pros.
Controlled dangerous substance.
Exactly. Drug possession.
Right.
We'll extend you this offer of employment if you are able to expunge this null pros. Unfortunately, the individual is not able to expunge that null pros because that subsequent guilty conviction in 2012 has locked that offense in. So they are forever barred from removing the eligible non-conviction just because they were subsequently convicted.
So, you know, I think about these two. Is there another bill?
Yes, there's another bill. Sorry, House Bill. House Bill 904, which would allow for the expungement of certain non-convictions. So, again, this idea that the court did not find me guilty. I was not found guilty. I should not have a record. Those records for non-conviction should be immediately expunged after the required 3 years. So you wait your 3 years. As soon as that 3 years is over, the process would begin for your record for null process and dismissals to be expunged. You would not have to file a petition and you would not have to pay the fee. The burden should not be on the individual because I was not found guilty in a court of law.
Whew. That's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot, but it's important.
But I think so we're at a really interesting juncture. You're talking about immediately about the first bill you talked about that Jamie Raskin put in.
Second Chance Act.
Second Chance Act is going to be voted on today.
Today in JPR, Judicial Proceedings.
Which means if it passes, then it can go to the Senate floor for debate, right?
Yes.
And if not, then it never gets to the Senate floor.
Precisely.
So I was thinking about a conversation we had in the beginning of this program today with Brian Stevenson, who's the head of the Equal Justice Initiative in Alabama, who's coming to Baltimore on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And one of the stats he gave out was that one out of three of every young black person born in America in the 21st century will be engaged in the criminal justice system. One out of three. Never been that high in the history of the United States. Not even during the 19th century. Mm-hmm. Not even during the 1920s and 30s when lynchings were taking place. Mm-hmm. This didn't occur. Mm-hmm. So there's a line between that and what the two of you are talking about.
Absolutely.
In terms of different ways of looking at justice in this society, right?
I think that our issues kind of go hand in hand, right? On the front end, Davon's talking about, you know, these inappropriate interactions that you're having with the criminal justice system and how, you know, we must figure out ways to rectify those situations. And on the back end, we're talking about the resulting criminal record from that interaction and the fact that it's preventing the individual from being the successful, self-sufficient citizen that we expect. And when we talk about unemployment, when we talk about black unemployment, and we know that we're in a country that incarcerates more individuals than any country in the world, and we know that these issues disproportionately affect people of color, we really can't expect individuals to be successful, black individuals, black workers to be successful, if we know that a simple interaction with the criminal justice system, whether it's an arrest, an illegal arrest, or whether you were found guilty, years later, that could bar you from any opportunity that you need in order to be successful.
Devon, you're about to say what?
I mean, in addition to that, I mean, you know, one of the things that has been difficult, you know, when talking to legislators, you know, a lot of people aren't familiar with the fact that these things happen in our communities. Huh. You'd be amazed at the extent to which people don't think that these are huge problems. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the conceptual blind spots that are produced by a society that is structured on institutional racism and white supremacy. You know, when we think about the idea that we're socialized in a society to see blackness as criminal and black people as criminal. You know, one of the analogies I like to use is, you know, when you think about, you know, I attended a predominantly white institution, you know, a university.
Towson.
Right, Towson. And, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, being a student there, you saw all kinds of violence and lewd mm-hmm. behavior and drug use, you know, and the difference between that and the communities that are most directly affected by things like police brutality or, you know, having a criminal record and, you know, the impediments of employment is that there are resources around them, right, that allow that provide that basis for people to be able to address the many issues that come along with you know, with drug use and violence and so on, so that it gets dealt with in a way that leads to people producing, you know, people who contribute to society. So the point I'm making is that the legislative efforts they were pushing is a part of a larger struggle to really get people of color, people of African descent in Baltimore to have the kind of access to power, the access to employment, and access to the institutions that govern our society in the same way that any other group of people should have access to those institutions. I mean, the police brutality reforms, you know, that we're pushing through, you know, these are things that any human being would want in terms of their relationship to an apparatus that's supposed to police your community. You know, you should be part of the process to discipline law enforcement officers that engage in misconduct. You know, you should want residents to be a part of that. You know, you should want law enforcement officials to be on an even playing field with the people in the community. Any other group of people, you know, people would see as entitled to that. And so that's really the message, is that all these efforts are a part of something to really affirm the humanity of people of African descent in a way that would allow at least the possibility of people getting justice.
So what's the timeline on the bills you're facing? Do you have a sense of what that timeline is?
So hopefully, fingers crossed, if the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee votes favorably for Senate Bill 526 this afternoon, the Second Chance Act, as you mentioned, that would move to the Senate floor hopefully within a couple days, and we would be able to successfully move that out of the Senate chamber. The House bill, as I mentioned, the House bills are being heard tomorrow. That would send a strong signal to the House committee, you know, since the Senate committee has moved favorably, that this is probably the same direction that we should move in terms of Second Chance Act. Now, I just have to mention that this is the fourth year that we've introduced the Second Chance Act. The Second
Really?
Chance Act was a direct recommendation of the Governor's Task Force on Prisoner Reentry in 2012.
And it really suggested
a more broader approach, right? The automatic shielding of nonviolent misdemeanors and felonies. But the legislature felt a bit uncomfortable with moving in that direction and kind of wanted to scale it down to just get their foot in the door. So we're in year four and we're, you know, requesting shielding for a small number of misdemeanor convictions. It's really important to quickly move this so that we can, you know, get to the other issues. In addition, the expungement issues, as I mentioned, they will have their House hearing tomorrow in Judiciary, but they also had their Senate hearing last week in Judicial Proceedings. I'm not sure when those bills are up for a vote, but we're hoping to move these things very fast because it's sensible policy, right? I mean, I talked about the impact that the record has on particularly individuals of color, but also the criminal record. The impact that the criminal record has on the ability to secure employment is something that transcends demographics, right? On a daily basis, I get calls from individuals with medical degrees, law degrees, masters, you know, very well-qualified individuals that cannot secure employment because the employer loves them. They get all the way through the hiring process, and then the background check is ran, and something comes back from 5-10 years ago, a nonviolent offense, you know, something that does not define who they are today, and now they're not able to obtain employment.
So, except for the first bill, which has to go to vote today in the Senate, which we'll know about tomorrow or this afternoon.
Yes.
These other bills we're talking about have a little play over the next week.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow's a big day.
They're all going to be decided tomorrow?
Yeah. Not
gonna be they're going to be heard. So for the police brutality stuff, it's going to be heard tomorrow on the Senate side.
Mm-hmm. And the expungement and the Second Chance will be heard on the House side tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. But the votes from those House, the committees won't take place till.
Probably won't take place till another week.
Well, so what our commitment will be, actually, these are really important, and we're figuring out what issues we're going to focus on in Annapolis. And I'm glad the two of you were able to come in here for this little short time. I'm sorry it was so short today.
Oh, thank you.
But it should be longer. And maybe we can do some kind of legislative discussion with some of our legislators on Monday, with any luck. Maybe have the two of you back with the legislators to talk about this, about where these bills are, so we can see what the possibilities are for those bills passing, and push that discussion for listeners on a broader basis, because this
sounds
is
good.
Much too short a conversation. We had a lot jammed in today, so I'm glad we finally got to us yesterday to get this on the air, but the more time we can get some more discussion on this, I think it's really, really critical for the future of the community. So I want to thank you, first of all, both for being here, but I just want to thank you both for the work that you both do. To change the nature of the society that we're in. So, pleasure to meet you, Karen Essling, to have you in the studio.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Policy Associate at the Job Opportunities Task Force, and Davon Love, who's been a guest on the show so many times you've lost count now, Director of Research and Public Policy for Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle. Good to have you.
Always
here.
A pleasure.
So we couldn't get to the calls coming in just now because it's a shorter segment than I realized because the other segment ran over. We have to take a very brief break and do our Baltimore City paper piece. So do not go away. We're coming back. Stay with us.